All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into the Word. Take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, excuse me, went through Jonah chapter 2 last time through his prayer, and then when the Lord released him from the whale's belly. I'm just going to be going through Jonah chapter 3. I'm not going to go through chapter 4. We kind of know what took place there. Jonah got upset with what the Lord had done. The title of the message tonight is, Look What God Did. Look What God Did. We sometimes wonder if it could happen there, could it happen here, a repentance like this? And the answer is yes. It's this kind of story, account in the Scripture, that brings us to praying the impossible. Can we pray for the impossible? We found out this morning that you can. We can. Is the Lord going to do what we ask if it's in His will? But He wants us to come to Him. We are coming to His will. We are looking for His burden. He will direct as He sees fit. But we wind up realizing our God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how to handle things. So that's one of the reasons why it's a joy to study Jonah, not just the individual, but the account that is here. So, we're going to look again in Jonah chapter 3. And the first thing that we come across is the second chance. The second chance. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Now, let's stop right there. I praise God for the second chances that He gives in situations. If it wasn't for the second chance, a lot of us would be in a world of hurt. A lot of us, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. But God brings us to a place where we turn to Him, we confess our sin, and then He says, okay, let's do that again. Let's try that again. Remember Peter, the situation with Peter comes so often to mind. What is it that Peter did three times? He what? He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. And he had boasted, I'll die for you. I'll die with you. Didn't happen. So what took place? John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What were the these? These disciples? The fish? The bread? What was it? I just know this, but he's challenging him. Do you love me more than these things? You've gone after your old job. You look at your fellow disciples. Remember John? Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Now, obviously, the question arises, does God always give a second chance? And the answer is no. And there's a pivotal point for that. It's called repentance. Saul, King Saul, did not. 1 Samuel 15:26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You read the account there, King Saul, when it came to being obedient, did not repent. He was sorry for his sin, but he did not repent of his sin. He wanted to be lifted up in front of the people. That's not true repentance. Sooner or later, we've got to understand this. If we as believers, if we belong to Christ, sooner or later, a disobedient heart will find the rod of God. He'll bring us to a point. Lovest thou me more than these? Will you repent? Do you really want to do my will? Jonah here was going through some of that. We can learn that. We just recognize this. We praise God as his people. He grants repentance. He gives it. He'll give it to us. He will offer. And praise God, we can turn to him. I'm so thankful for that. The second chance. With Jonah, with the second chance, came the second call. Look at verse 2. Arise. Same thing he was told before. Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He was being told, you go to Nineveh and do my will. Jonah's will was not to see Nineveh repent. Jonah, as we read in chapter 4, hey, he says to the Lord, I knew this is what you would do. You're merciful, God. Why would you do that? You know, it's interesting to ask ourselves, is there anyone in our nation that we would love to see in hell? And the answer is, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't. Could you imagine people saying to the Apostle Paul, he who had persecuted them, could you imagine God's people saying to the Apostle Paul, I wish God had never contacted you on the road to Damascus? Now seriously, you stop and think about that. That's foolishness. Look how God used Paul. You know, I would love to see a politician, an entertainer, somebody that would turn to God with all their heart. But then again, you know, anybody turn to the Lord. The Lord knows hearts. He knows the needs of mankind. So when he came to Jonah with these directives, it was for a purpose. God's purpose. And we need to remember this. When God raised up this local fellowship, it was not for our purpose, it was for his purpose. So that's why we need to be thinking about his way, what he desires. Seriously, that's what I was talking about this morning. Lord, what is your burden? What's your burden? What do you think the Lord would have you do this week? You know, seriously, other than, you know, doing this, you know, being at your job or whatever, we just never know when God's going to give us somebody, when he's going to put us in a situation. We just need to understand. He told Jonah, he told him to preach, he told him who to preach to and what to preach. The Lord, again, has done all these things with us. This is why Satan seeks to confuse us, using any situation in any way possible to confuse us. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Study that out sometime. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Satan loves to take the gospel and complicate it. Satan loves to take the Christian life and do the same thing. He'll bring something along in our path to help us trip up. He'll do something along in our path that he can use in our pride. You know, I know more than you do. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is not a flash in the pan. In fact, it's almost safe to say he's mundane. Now, wait a minute. He has done glorious things, but it's his character. He's not there with man's pride doing what he does. He is God. He's doing it not with a sinful bent. We need to be mindful of this. It is in us. Satan will do anything using our pride, arrogance, you name it, or using some other kind of sin to complicate the Christian walk. Meditate on that. Think about it. So, what do we find? What do we find? God's messenger comes. Look at verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. We're not going to get into that much. It's just, it was a large city. It was huge. The dimensions we've talked about before. When you find Christians that are repentant, when it comes to what Noah did, that's our focus here. Not necessarily the journey, but the person, again. You find a listening ear. Now think about that. Jonah arose and went. We look at some people that have done marvelous things in their lives, and we've looked at the account toward the end and gone, wow, that's really something. What we need to stop and consider is early on, somebody had a listening ear. Even when it comes to someone that has sinned, they heard the call of God and thought, you know what? If I'm wise, I'm going to do something a little bit different. By the way, I haven't studied this out. I'm reflecting on what I read in Scripture. And Brad, I believe in RU, you guys focus a lot on the Proverbs, right? Yeah. You know, my wife and I were talking before we came over here. Just got to thinking about this. You look at Solomon's father, David. He focused a lot on God and reflecting on himself, and yes, on others, but he had a heart for God. Solomon strikes me as somebody who was someone that really watched people. He watched people. Now, you take that and you combine the two with the heart for God and just noticing, not being gossipy or looking. You know what I mean. You've read the book of Proverbs. I hope and pray that you have. But here was Solomon looking and going, you know, the slothful, not good here. Ah, the wise, good here. The foolish, bad, not good at all. You see that, and you just begin to be a student of people, the choices that they make. Not that you're judging, but just discerning. A truly repentant Christian has an ear. The heart, God is still working in, but they've got an ear. And with that ear brings the humble, obedient heart. Again, like Jonah, which yields to an active participation. He's on his way. God's messenger is coming. And now we look at verse 4 and realize the message is being delivered. Look at verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let's stop and consider about something. Preaching is all about the message and its impact on listeners, by the way, including the preacher. If I don't get anything out of a message that I'm seeking to prepare for the church, what good is it going to do you? I'm looking at this and I'm realizing something about the person of Jonah and how God dealt with him. I see the message that was delivered, and we're going to look at the message in just a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, Jonah turned the second time, realized the second chance God had given him, and I stop and I think, you know what? I don't want to go through that. You know, Lord, when you call, I want to go the first time. I've been to the school of hard knocks enough. I think I graduated magna cum laude. I mean, it's just, you know, no fun to be there. Paul, again, and Paul's interesting too because of his background, how he discerned people, but also discerned the Lord. So his heart and his view of people. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." He's preached enough to recognize this. To those that are saying no, boy, foolishness. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What's he saying? There is a difference in recognition and a difference in outcome. You can give the gospel to a foolish person. They perish. It's just, they look at it and go, "You're crazy for what you believe." And we go, "No, don't you understand? Don't you see it?" Isn't it amazing that there are two different hearts that can look at the universe and one says, "Boom," and the other says, "God created"? Why is that? I don't know, except fallen man and the work of God in everybody's heart. I just don't know that. But to recognize there is a story here. This is what Paul is saying. He's looking and saying, you know, I'm seeing this as I preach. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Those that are saying it's foolishness. This is how they're viewing our God. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And that is our joy. How do we get the message of the gospel across? By tying it to us. The story that is through someone just like us. You see, we're looking at Jonah. And we're gleaning from him different lessons, like, for instance, the second chance, the worth of repentance, the need of yielding, and really, no matter how we see it, the work of God, how it brings glory to himself. While Jonah was pouting, there were people that were repenting in Nineveh. There's a man, his name's Don Hewitt. He created the program, and many of you, maybe all of you, have heard it before, 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes. He was dealing with somebody. They were asking him about his talent as a journalist. He said this, and this ties into something from the scripture. He says, "My philosophy is simple. It's what little kids say to their parents, 'Tell me a story.'" How many of you, you know, when you're a kid, you know, "Tell me a story. Tell me a story." Oh, boy. How many of you are really pros at telling stories? Okay. Lynn, I can see that in you. "Even the people who wrote the Bible," he said, this is interesting, "even the people who wrote the Bible knew that when you deal with issues, you tell stories." He said this, "The issue was evil. The story was Noah." That's pretty good. Hey, if the story is Jonah, what's the issue? Now think about it. If the story is Jonah, is the issue repentance? Is the issue submission? It's all according to how God is directing each and every one of us as we read a book like Jonah. Some people can look at the stories in the Bible and get bored. You know, you can read Job and some people go, "Oh, Job, I can't believe it." There is so much in the book of Job when it comes to the character of God. And I'm not talking about at the very end. It's what he says. And it's not just him, but what his three friends say. So there's a story given. There's Job. There's Joseph. There's David. There's so many. I'm reading in the Judges right now. There's so many things in the Judges. I love it. I love Gideon. That angel came to him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What were the first three words out of his mouth? Oh, my Lord. Exactly. So, listen. After using, stop and consider this. After using pictures of Israel's need all through the book, all through Isaiah's book, the Lord drew their focus to their condition. I love reading through the book of Isaiah, but especially the latter part. Listen to this. When it comes to Israel's condition, what did God say? Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What is it? The story is Israel. The issue is their sin. The story is God. The issue is His mercy. We can take it time and time again. When it comes to the message that Jonah brought, yea, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. He probably didn't say much more. Well, what can you glean out of that? Well, if you stop and consider, and let's do that right now. The message was earnest. Jonah didn't debate. He didn't say, hey, listen, folks, we got to talk. We got to talk about sin here. He just came in and said, this is where it's at. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. He cried out. There was nothing timid about him. The message, this message was the ultimate in time sensitive and outcome focused. 40 days, you're judged. That's it. That's it. You know, every sermon ought to be from the heart of God. I'm here right now because there is something that every one of us needs to learn, including and especially the preacher. Jonah, second time, went, preached. Look what happened. A great man of God, Oswald Smith, wrote this. The world does not need sermons. It needs a message. You can go to a seminary and learn how to preach sermons, but you will have to go to God to get messages. You have to go to God to do that. Don't forget that, brother. So the message was earnest, but secondly, it was plain. It was plain. Hey, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You hear that, someone who is honestly seeking God, they hear that verse, and it's like, tell me more. I need to know. I've got to know. When we preach, it ought to be a plain message. Again, going back to Christ, don't complicate things. It's very simple. But we also need to remember this. The message that he spoke was humbling. Now imagine somebody going into New York or Washington, D.C. and giving the same thing. You think, well, that wouldn't do anything. Look, I'll guarantee you this. God has told us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? But if God was determining a specific situation where he told a preacher, I want you to go and stand in Times Square and in earnestness and in my power say, listen, 40 days and New York is obliterated. If God called him specifically to give that message, and he went there, and he had God's power, it would be in the news. It's not that that's what we're supposed to be going and doing everywhere. I'm not supposed to go down to the Capitol and say, hey, 40 days, and this place is leveled. God hasn't told me that. He hasn't told you that either. But he has said, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. There it is. That's not necessarily earth-shaking. But there are times when God calls a man of God or anybody to preach a specific message, and it's got some real Holy Spirit power behind it. It has moved. We always think of sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards, I understand he spent 3 days in prayer before that time that he preached that. And I believe, Roger, correct me if I'm wrong, I remember hearing one time, that was the fourth time he preached that message. I think. And he read it, yes. I've read that message once here. I didn't pray 3 days over it. I read it and people got bored. You know, if God directs you to preach something like that, even if you read it and the power of God is there, it's going to take place. And by the way, that kind of harkens us back to praying the impossible. We're looking at a situation and we're looking at, you know, different areas where our nation is, and we're going, that's impossible. And you know what God is saying? There you go again. You're shortening my arm. You're not believing what I can do. It's a challenge to me. It really is. It's a challenge to me. The message was humbling. When we hear something like that, we're reminded of the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, the need of total surrender, the consequences of a hardness of heart. That's what he was nailing. So the message was plain, it was humbling, but it was gracious. Jonah didn't go in and say, Nineveh will be destroyed. Exit stage left. He didn't say that. He said 40 days. 40 days. You know, we need to understand our need for the gospel, our need of salvation. Somebody has said, before there was Calvary, there was Mount Sinai. There was the law that tells us, all have sinned, we've sinned. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt love the Lord the God. We hear these things, we read them. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness, etc. And we recognize we're sinners. But then Christ came. The message was fitting. Nineveh was a wicked city. Again, the wickedness that they were involved in, we don't need to look at right now. But the fact is, they were wicked. So are we as a nation. So are we as a people in this world right now. The testimony of the king even showed this. Look at verse 8 in Jonah 3. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way. That's the king. And from the violence that is in their hands. They knew. They understood. Paul admonished Timothy, avoid arguments, avoid the strifes, but don't ignore people. Don't ignore them. Don't argue and fight. Be patient and gentle with all men. Teach the word of God with humbleness, with meekness. Like he said to Timothy, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. A servant of God must instruct those who oppose him. This is the only way he can rescue them from what Satan is doing in their heart. We are not called to win arguments. We're called to win souls. We're not here to just daily, continually prove everybody else wrong. The Word of God does that. The Word of God interprets itself. With that, it will show any work, any religion of works, no matter what it is, show it that it's wrong. It will show salvation is by faith alone, through Christ alone. And then the people respond. Look again back in the scripture. Look at verse 5 of Jonah 3. Their response, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, the question is, what does this get us to look at? We can look at it and go, wow, I would love to see that, or wow, that must have really been something. But what it should draw us to is look what God can do when he directs. Look what God can do. You know, when we had the tent meeting, remember back in October? When we had the tent meeting, all we were praying. And I praise God for the people that were saved during that time. It gave us a hunger. We want to do it again. I don't know when the Lord is going to have us do it again. But it got us to looking at what God can do. It's the same thing here with Jonah. What is it that they said? The people of Nineveh believed God. Now there's different situations that we have seen. Noah preached for 120 years. Nothing like this happened. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they preached. They were scorned by God's people, Israel. So what do we do? Well, you know, one of the things that we can do is we can look at the parable of the sower. We can look at the soils, in other words. There's nothing said about the sower except the sower went forth to sow. But there are things said about the soil. Not the sower, but the soil. But even beyond that is what the Word of God does by the power of God. I just stop and consider. When we see their response, let's look to the God who directed him to go. There's their response. Look at their repentance. Verse 5, and proclaimed a fast. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put off sackcloth. The depth of their repentance is, honestly, it's incredible. Fasting, I mean, you know, just doing away with food, water, we need the Lord. Put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a dark cloth made from the dark hair of a goat or a camel. It was worn to express sorrow. It was not worn because it was comfortable. It was not comfortable. And then the breadth of their repentance, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. You know, it makes you stop and consider what Christ said when he was here on earth in Luke 11. He's speaking to the religious rulers, to Israel. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Wow. Again, Lord, what are you seeking to tell us? My opinion, I'm looking at this as an individual, and I'm thinking, I need to listen to the author of the message like they did. They feared the Lord. I need to fear the Lord. Forgive me, I've used this illustration before. But again, the idea of looking at people and discerning people, not judging, but just stopping and thinking. I remember just one particular Sunday, I preached a message. I honestly don't remember what I preached. This has been so many years ago. But it's just on that particular day, it was fascinating to hear. There was one person in the auditorium that turned around to the person that was sitting behind them and said, "Could you understand a thing that guy said?" and walked out, and they've never been back. But at the same time, somebody walked up to me and said, "Pastor, that message so spoke to me." It wasn't me. When the Spirit of God finds good soil, we need to recognize this. So the people responded, but you know what? The power responded as well, the king. Look at verse 6. "For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth," that stuff that's not easy to wear, "and sat in ashes." You know, there were two things that changed, what he wore and where he sat. He's not sitting on the throne now. He's down there where the common people would sit when they repented of their sin. Stop and think about it. The power responded. So what took place in Nineveh? Well, there are some things that were changed. Look at verse 7. "And he," the king, "caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let there neither be man nor beast, herd nor flock." Watch this. He goes after what they eat. He goes after their appetite. "Taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water." He is in absolute seriousness about this. The power of God was behind that simple message. God directed it, and look what took place. Now, remember what the Lord said in Luke 11? "Hey, a greater than Jonas is here. Look at you, you're not listening." I cannot imagine what it's going to be like for people that just had a hard stiff neck and a hard heart against God or anything when it comes to standing before Him at the great white throne judgment. Verse 8, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth," and then notice this, "and cry mightily unto God." Do you see that? They cried mightily. Can you imagine if God came to America and there was someone that had a call of God for a specific message like this, and America cried mightily? Now, wait a minute. Could that happen? Yes. That's not what God has called us to right now for us. We don't need to take time to pray specifically for something like that. I mean, we can. What I see is this, what I mentioned this morning. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit holds back evil. And all of us, where God puts us, give the message. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Jonah and a whole city like this responded. The same God, the same Holy Spirit, can work where we're at. Now, why aren't we seeing response like this? You know, is our God a good God? He is a good God. Then we don't doubt Him. We let him do the work that he's doing in us, and he, when the time comes, he will work on that person. Like we talked about, we've talked about people that we prayed for salvation. Let God's Spirit work in us, and let's believe the promises of God. He'll do the work. Our God is good. Cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Look at what he said in verse 9. Who can tell? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? America could learn a lot from this king. But we can learn a lot from the story. And we'll stop it right here. I'm not going to go into chapter 4. But we could learn a lot from the story. Yes, we want to see a revival like Jonah. But let's first be looking at the heart of Jonah from beginning to end. Look what God did. Let's look to Jonah and see, you know what? That's not the heart that I want. Instead, let's be looking at what God did and be encouraged in that. We don't know what God's going to do in the future. And we don't know how God will deal with those, for instance, that were saved at the tent revival and whatever else God does. Even in this, is God speaking to us tonight? Yes, he is. I'm not hearing anything. That's not God's fault. I know we're listening. We can. And we ought to. Look, God called us to the United States of America in 2021. 2020 was a pivotal year, and for all the wrong reasons, or mostly it seems. It's us that God called. God did not call us to failure. He's calling us to himself. He's calling us to his fields. He's calling us to do his will. It's a time where resistance to the gospel has heightened, where it's threatened even in the land of the free. God did not make a mistake, though. We may be facing things our parents and grandparents did not. But just like other people around the world that have been facing it on a daily basis, I read this last week, and I forget who the source was. But there's a ministry that is given to the persecution of God's people. They estimated this. 11 people every hour die for the cause of Christ. They die because of their Christian profession. 11 every hour. I don't know where they got it from. There have been people that have been paying a price, and it's going to continue. What we have had has been unusual. Now it's starting to disappear. God hasn't failed. He's purifying his church like we looked at this morning. You know, our God has us. He's calling us to a more difficult situation, but he's going with us, like he went with Jonah. Jonah didn't have the heart to rejoice in what God was doing. I pray that we will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we meditate this week on the account of Jonah, help us to see our almighty, omniscient God. Look at Jonah. Learn from his attitudes all the way through. But also, Lord, learn from what you can do. I pray that you would help us to see that in calling us to yourself, to your work in the year 2021 in America, you're not wasting a life. You are giving great opportunity. Lord, we would love to see a response in America like what took place in Nineveh. I pray, Lord, that we would focus on right where we are at. May we be used to bring one here and one there and another there. You will take care of the big picture. And we pray this in our Savior's name.